What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is January 22nd. It is The Hump. It's been a while. We got Jimmy Van here. How you doing, Jimmy?
Doing good, Sean Ross Sapp. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I headed to Vegas tomorrow. It's a thing that's happening, but then I come back, and then I go to Indianapolis next week. It's going to be a time. A lot of travel. It'll adjust my Q&A schedule next week. It shouldn't affect us. I should be good to go next week, and I'll be on the AEW show tonight as well.
I'll tell you, Vegas has some nice restaurants, Sean Ross Sapp.
Yeah, I mean, they've got us scheduled for a few of them.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Pretty good. Pretty good. Well, before we get into the meat of things, I want to start with my usual shameless plug for my self-help business book, The Storytelling Salesman, which is available now anywhere books are sold online, Amazon, Indigo, Barnes & Noble. It offers tips for anyone looking to improve their situation at their job or managing people or running their business. I told Sean that a mutual friend of ours hit me up on Monday saying, can you help me with, like, how do you recruit the right talent? And how do you do this? And how do you do that? And I said, oh, I got the book for you. And I sent her a copy. You can also get it from the Fightful shop. You can get it from the book's official website, storysalesman.com. And you get personalized copies there as well. So check it out. Yep. I'm going to be embarking on a podcast tour soon, Sean.
Oh, yeah? I'm sure you won't say anything that will give me a fucking headache, Jimmy.
Nothing. I guarantee you, I'm not going to mention the words Air Gold even one time, Sean.
How do you even know? Oh, wait. I know how you know that name because I made it trend on Twitter. That's how you know that name.
I get tagged on stuff, Sean. And then I literally, you know, I don't spend a ton
People
of time
paddle on me all the time.
I don't spend a lot of time on Twitter because, like, you know, my kids come first for me. But I'll go on there to check the news and I'll get tagged and I'll be like, Sean did what?
Yeah. People tattle on me all the time. I just want to let you guys know something sincerely. Jimmy don't care.
No, not
Jimmy
really.
Don't care. No. Jimmy doesn't care. He doesn't care.
I mean, if you ever, and I know Sean never would, but if Sean ever said, let's say something racist or something.
Yes.
Then I'd be like, we got to talk. But otherwise, nah, I don't really care.
I would never do anything like that, period.
I know you wouldn't.
Period.
I know you wouldn't, yeah.
But my God, like the things that people have tried to pack me up for, and I'm like, listen, guys, y'all going to have to do better than that because I'm really – really good at my job. I mean, really good at my job. And by God, we're here to talk about it. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. If you're watching here on YouTube, we have some new content for you guys. In addition to interviews with Missa Kate tomorrow, we had Hornswoggle today, or I think yesterday. I got Francine for an hour on Monday.
Really?
We did a really, really cool video with Mike Straw, and we're going to do more of them. It's the exodus of New Japan to WWE from 2016. So I'm doing these because I feel like, you know, our YouTube, our live shows, our interviews, they've reached pretty well who they're going to reach. So I want to reach some more people. We're going to put some ad power into it. But Jimmy, the first one did exactly what I thought it would do. It did about 2,000 views on YouTube. And then as soon as I posted it to Twitter, it did 100,000 views.
Which is where we don't make any money.
Yeah. Which is where we don't make any money. Yeah. So... it's one of those things like where I want to do that and I want to expand our viewership base and all that. And I hope that you guys show it some love, especially on YouTube, because it's something that we want to grow. We got our Instagram back. Finally, we're going through a different approach there. I want to thank the wonderful gentleman Angel from Wrestling News Co. Cause he's always sending me like good tips and stuff like that about how to grow our Instagram and things like that. So a little bit of help within the industry there. But by God, get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. We already got a few, Jimmy.
Well, I want to say one thing before you get to those. One thing quick. You talked about being good at your job. Drew McIntyre.
Oh, so yeah.
I caught the Fightful Award show. You and Denise did a good job. I caught the Fightful Award show. Drew McIntyre is what we're seeing right now is the best Drew McIntyre is what we're seeing. So he won what you call the honorary Big Boss Man Award, basically heel of the year. And I loved his acceptance speech. I loved it. He referred to himself as the justified prick. He said, this is the justified, because you know, the best heel, Sean, they think that their heel actions are right. They think they're right for doing what they're doing. So justified prick. I thought he was amazing. And you know who my new favorite performer is, Sean Rossap?
Who's that?
My new favorite performer is Harley Cameron.
Oh, she's wonderful.
She is a female rock. Listen, I know that there's people that
rock.
Yes.
Rock.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you why she's a female rock. She's a female rock because she's very multifaceted.
She's great. Like she's wonderful.
Yes.
She's incredible. I'm just like, what a comparison.
Well, because The Rock was always very multifaceted, right? You could have him doing comedy stuff.
Yeah.
You could do the music stuff. He was a good talker. She's got all of that. And
let me say this. Her quite hit the serious elements of The Rock yet.
Well, but I think they're just tip of the iceberg.
I think she's 2 weeks away from showing up in an Adidas tracksuit and just clubbing somebody over the head with a chair.
Maybe.
This is like,
I think she's really, really good.
What was the theme song? Oh, you said that LA Knight should have the 12 Stones and Evanescence song.
That was for Twitter engagement, Sean. That was for Twitter engagement. No, Harley Cameron. Let me tell you something. AEW's got something in Harley Cameron. They do.
They 100% have something very special in Harley Cameron.
They do.
She got thrown into the fire last year, and she was phenomenal. And I think they will put her in a prominent spot at Grand Slam. By the way, I just did a guest appearance with our friends down under the ring, including Fid McAwesome. And that's going to be out soon where we talk about that. Matthew Hooks says, I don't understand something. I want to address this because he is a sponsor of our show. SRS reported Starks didn't turn down creatively, yet he literally turned down a feud with Big Bill. So that seems inconsistent. No, he did not turn that down. He suggested to them before they split, he's like, guys, just so y'all know, I don't think it really benefits me to beat Big Bill. He did not turn down a feud with Big Bill. In fact, he said if they were to feud, Big Bill should beat him. So that is absolutely not true. That is not consistent.
This is the problem with online discourse, Sean.
Yes, this has not been since his absence. He went to them and he's like, guys, I think it would benefit everybody if Big Bill beat me. So it's like that. Imagine Hogan doing the opposite of what he did at Starrcade. He rolls up there.
Or anywhere else for that matter. Yeah.
Sting's beating me. That doesn't work for me, brother. We got to do this. And he's like, you know what doesn't work for me? I'm getting too much offense. I need Sting to squash me, which is what should have happened. Damn, man. Damn. Let's get to some super chats and humper chats. Alexa, back at the Rumble. So, I mean, there's stuff that PWN has put out there, and I saw that Pro Wrestling Insider has said that creative plans are off the table. I have not heard of an update regarding Alexa in quite some time. In fact, the last update I heard was that they were going to revisit it in the fall, and that was in the summer. Mm-hmm. Now here we are heading into February with nothing. I think that a good idea, if you wanted to wrap up Judgment Day, is do Judgment Day, and I'm talking all of them, plus Liv, plus Raquel, as this gentleman, let me scroll up. Desmond asks, do you know of WrestleMania plans for Liv Morgan? I don't, but hear me out. In like a plunder match, you have all of Judgment Day, including including Raquel and Liv, against the Wyatt Six, plus Alexa Bliss and her connection to the Wyatts, and losers break up and you end that group, please.
Is there any way that they could do that and then they break up both groups? Because the Wyatt Six have not done anything. Like, they haven't done anything of note.
Of late, there's a reason for that. I believe one of them is sidelined, but still, there's like five or six of them. So
you know how sometimes you'll see, and this is no disrespect to them because it's a creative thing, really. But You know when you see sometimes where a group or a wrestler's peak is their debut?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's been it.
So I have been bringing up this comparison an awful lot, Jimmy. Sometimes you got to strike while the iron is hot and very early. Everybody is not going to be Braun Breaker, Gunther, or Brock Lesnar in WWE. They're special talent. But I always say, go back and look at Alberto Del Rio, who is an okay performer. But immediately they wanted to make him feel like a guy. And they did. They immediately made him feel important. It wasn't a, well, we'll wait a couple years. Sometimes you got to let people know from the jump who is who. And I think that's, yeah, sure, that's important.
Yeah. And, yeah, and you know, when you look at Penta now, this is kind of an example, because, you know, one, a piece of discourse I saw on Penta when he was coming into WWE is his in-ring, his best years are behind him in ring. Like, I saw some of that discourse. He's not going to, he can't do the stuff he did 10 years ago. That didn't matter in WWE. You know what I mean? It didn't matter because he had everything else. He could still go, but he had everything else that they wanted in order to do what they wanted to do with him. And 2 weeks in, he's looking phenomenal. Now, 6 months from now, is that going to be the case? We'll see. But right now, he's looking incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he is. DNC Digital says, with everything going on, WWE Vault, including entire pay-per-views and wrestler bio DVDs, is this possibly where the library could be after Peacock is done? Yeah, I think so. WWE, as I've mentioned in the past, Jimmy, boy, were they well ahead of the curve. This is before the Nick Khan era of when I would expect this, but a lot of people looked at them and said, oh my God, they're cannibalizing their pay-per-view model. This is bad for them. What they did was create a network, and they had a whole bunch of stuff on there. We already knew they were going to license out Raw and SmackDown. They've done that forever. But they had, you know, some of their shows that were digital shows like NXT. Well, guess what happened? They licensed it. They had their PLEs. They licensed it. Their library, they licensed it. The documentaries that they were paying to produce and then, you know, paying for production, they licensed those to A&E as well. So they're very good at relicensing information. So if they are putting their library on the, by the way, they would create things out of thin air like Speed and then license it to another platform to where they would have a presence on cable, network, streaming, another streaming, and then social media. It's a very smart approach there. But yes, I think this is a thing, and I'm sure they cut some kind of deal with YouTube because they are a juggernaut, probably like an enhanced ad rate or something like that. Yes, I think that that's a very good idea.
I saw a match on there that shocked the hell out of me. Yeah. You remember 91, The Undertaker's new to the company, and he beats Hogan for the WWF title at Survivor Series. Remember that? Everybody's seen that, right? 1 month before that match, when the undefeated Undertaker beats Hogan for the WWF title, 1 month prior, he lost to Tito Santana by pinfall in Barcelona, Spain. I had no idea that match happened. I had never heard of it. I had never seen it. Obviously, they put Tito over because he was Spanish, even though Tito's, you know, Mexican heritage and not Spanish Spain heritage. But they put Tito Santana over the Undertaker a month before he won the title. I couldn't believe it. I just never seen it. Didn't know it existed.
Crispy Chris, I feel like I had answered this, but you did send a super chat there. I had not heard that she was meant to return January 13th. I will dig into that. I will dig into that, but I have not heard that as of yet. I've not. K77, actually, I just read that one. He says, is WWE going to start Jordynne Grace in NXT? Feels like she should be on the Raw or SmackDown right away. She should be on Raw or SmackDown right away. She does not need to be in NXT. In fact, I would argue that Raw and or SmackDown both need Jordynne Grace, and I would do that immediately. She has been in Orlando. I can't say if she was at the Performance Center, but I know she was in Orlando on Monday already. Like, there were reports she was supposed to be there later in the week, but like, she was there by Monday, Jimmy.
You're 1,000% right. Like, NXT right now, I saw somebody on Twitter last week say NXT is basically a women's show now with a little bit of men thrown in. The women's division is so deep on NXT, they don't need Jordynne Grace. You're right. They have to look at who is going to be with Tiffany Stratton moving forward, or who's going to be with Rhea moving forward, or whoever they needed on the main roster. Jordynne Grace is ready to go, and that's where she should be. 100% agree.
Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. Wrestle Cheddar says, any truth to the rumor New Japan are moving Stardom shows onto the New Japan World streaming service? I will ask about this. I think that would work really well as long as there wasn't like a major price hike. But I mean, listen, that we are a far cry from a few years ago when I would say New Japan should book women's wrestling and people would act like I was racist for suggesting such a thing. Like it was unreal. The putrid responses I would get. Like, yeah, they should integrate that more and make the ease of accessibility more prominent. That way these women can get paid more, can get more opportunities, can live a better life, all that stuff. It should happen. New Lack City says, SRS, what's the deal with Dragon Lee? He needs to leave as soon as his contract is up. He's not been used correctly at all. And Penta is now the new Luchador of the Week. I thought his contract was up this year. I don't have details on when his contract is up. But I do remember when he went there, a lot of people were like, oh, he hit the big time, you know, one of those. And like, oh, Tony Khan fumbled him. This is one of those situations, Jimmy, where if the shoe was on the other foot, AEW would be getting criticized heavily. And now we're starting to see WWE criticized heavily for this. And I think rightfully so here. Like, Dragon Lee is a phenomenal performer who is spending a few, I won't ever say wasting, because I don't know his situations, his motivations, or priorities. But we also don't know what he wants. Maybe he wants to sit there and make however much money he's making and wants to preserve his body a little bit more. Like, maybe that's what he likes. We don't know.
Yeah, and I agree with what you just said as well. So, you know, Penta comes into WWE. They put him over like $1 million. So many people on social media were ripping AW, saying, you know, you didn't know what you were doing with this guy. It goes both ways. What was Swerve doing in WWE? What was Tony Storm doing in WWE, right? It goes both ways. And the fact of the matter is, when you've got hundreds of performers under contract, you're not going to hit with every single one of them. Every company, you're not going to. And so, yeah, maybe Penta didn't do in AEW what he's currently doing. Well, neither did those others I just mentioned in WWE. So that's how it is.
Yeah, we got a couple more Super Chats, Humper Chats. Why did they not change the name of AEW Dynasty? Buddy, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know why you would run a show called AEW Dynasty. Or I don't know why you would have New Japan, or New Japan would run a show called Wrestle Dynasty. That's the issue, in my opinion. Not why didn't they change the name of AEW Dynasty. It's why did they call the combined show Wrestle Dynasty? AEW Dynasty was there first, Jimmy. It just seems like very unusual. Like, why do that?
I wish I had an answer for you, buddy. I don't know. So, I mean, it's maybe it's a situation where Tony Khan just has other shit to deal with, and so it's not top of mind.
Yeah, it's but I mean, like, New Japan decided to run with Wrestle Dynasty, and it's,
yeah, you're right.
It's like, that's strange.
Yeah.
Super Mo says, Sean attending the Rumble, can't wait. Is there really going to only be three matches, or do you expect one more? I expect more. I expect Men's Royal Rumble, Women's Royal Rumble, and a couple other matches. I think that last year is probably a really good indication of what they'll do, because they already had that method last year. And last year they did four matches. You had the two Rumble matches, you had a U.S. title match, and an undisputed WWE match, title match. And those went 15 to 20 minutes, those peripheral matches. So if you asked how many matches will be on so-and-so pay-per-view, I think that last year is a pretty good frame of reference, because by then Vince McMahon and his influence were cleared out of the company. Like, that, in fact, that was the first weekend that he had stepped down and was away without a conduit or anything.
Who are your quick Rumble picks?
John Cena, and I think Charlotte Flair.
I'm with you on both. Now, I honestly wish that for the men's Rumble, they would go with somebody else who's going to challenge Gunther, because Cena, Cody can write itself. Like, you don't necessarily need Cena to win the Rumble for that to happen. But I do think, because it's his last one, he's going to win. But Gunther needs the push more so than Cody in that regard.
Yeah. Oh, man. Are we going to see TNA versus NXT Worlds Collide? Yeah, I think almost certainly we're going to see that, Jimmy. What do you make of this partnership?
I think it's really good for NXT. And again, you know, I love looking at a discourse on social media, Sean. And I saw a bunch of comments when this was announced saying, oh, this is a one-way street. TNA is getting way more out of this than WWE is. And I even saw some people saying, is WWE doing this to try to weaken AEW somehow, which is totally silly. The reason they're doing this is because the NXT talent, most of them don't have years of independent experience. Most of them, they are recruiting and they are training, and they only get one day a week of television time in front of a crowd. on Tuesdays. This gives them the opportunity to potentially work more than one day a week in front of people, to work with different wrestlers than they see every day in the PC, and potentially veterans, right? You got the Hardys there. I know Jordan's not going to be there now, but she would have been an example. Yeah. Josh Alexander would have been an example. The Hardys are examples. That's why they're doing this. I think it's a really good partnership. Obviously, TNA is getting a lot of plug out of it too. And already Genesis, how many people were on that from NXT? Cora Jade, Ashanti Fraxium. Was there. Fraxium was there. There you go. And now Fraxium is going to defend the NXT titles on Thursday on TNA television. That's why they're doing it. And I think it's a smart move. Now, I do have a question for you, Sean.
Sure.
Obviously, there's going to be some integration in the Rumble, I'm sure. And I'm sure Jordan will probably be there. I could see Josh Alexander being in there. I could even see Jeff Hardy being in there. Do you think there's any possibility, especially after what we saw at Genesis, any possibility that we ever see Tessa Blanchard either in the Rumble or on NXT television?
This year, no. Or this year, or imminently, no. They're not going to run the risk of their television show having "She's a Racist" chanted.
Right.
Like that, they just won't run that risk.
Right.
So Ron says, "Hey, Jimmy and SRS, any idea about the AEW India TV deal? Discovery Plus sucks in India, and VOD was stopped over a year ago. Love Fightful and you guys." Buddy, I hate to use your super chat as a plug, but NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click. And if you want to use NordVPN.com/Fightful, you'll be able to get all of WWE's content with your Netflix subscription as well. So it saves you the price of cable. It saves you the price of anything else by just subscribing. And you can get AEW Plus on Triller and watch via that. I don't have a lot of insight on the AEW TV India deal, but I have a ton of insight on NordVPN.com/Fightful. 30-day money back guarantee as well. They got 24/7 tech support. You're going to love it. They have a wealth of other resources that you can dip into, from the NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that stuff. Right now, big savings plus 4 months extra at NordVPN.com/Fightful. I'm about to travel to Las Vegas, to Indianapolis, to Toronto. I've got Dallas. I got Indianapolis again, running back and forth from Cincinnati to Louisville. When I'm at a venue, a hotel, airport, I am using NordVPN to shield my data from snoops and criminals. I have seen so many people get their data stolen, and NordVPN helps prevent that. But I sorry to use you as a as an ad read, but that is legitimately the best suggestion I have. I'm surprised that they haven't 5 years in, or almost 6 years in, gotten better deals globally, Jimmy. I'm sure WWE might be taking a little bit of a hit globally, but they now have ease of access for their global show with WWE Raw as well.
I think that the Netflix deal is going to benefit AEW when it comes to international TV, because there's going to be a lot of markets now that no longer have WWE, and they're going to be potentially looking for an alternative. I don't know the situation with AEW and their India TV deal, but with WWE again switching to Netflix everywhere but the US, it's just going to open up options for AEW. So we'll see how that goes. And you know what? TNA got the Sportsnet deal in Canada.
Yeah.
So that's another one where WWE moving to Netflix opened up an opportunity for somebody else.
JM says, SRS and Jimmy, would WWE's broadcast rights with Comcast NBCU get affected with their cable channels and get spun off from NBC TV?
No. So they're doing that from a corporate perspective, because they see the writing on the wall with cable. And some of their channels, they didn't spin out because they're still doing really well, like Bravo. Bravo was still remaining in the same corporate entity because they're doing well. But otherwise, in terms of like the SmackDown contract, no. It's not going to affect anything.
What's going on with Britt and AEW? If released or becomes a free agent, do you see her fitting in with the WWE locker room? As of now, no. She's not going to get released. She's got plenty of time on her deal. I'll have more on Fightful Select, but she has been off TV. I know that the rumors out there that isn't going to be on TV ever again. I can't say that that's accurate whatsoever. Like, people were very... I can tell you she was surprised to hear that as well, from what I understood. And people I've talked to in AEW have never quite mentioning that, but I've never quite mentioned that.
You ever done a cold plunge, John?
Cold plunge?
Yeah. You ever done that?
I've just got one.
Did you?
I just got like a thing, like a little small one. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
got
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
I haven't used it yet though.
So I just saw Britt did it with Diamond Dallas Page. And
oh yeah. Yeah.
She took it like a champ, dude. She was in there for like 3 minutes, her first try. So I thought that was impressive. I thought about getting a cold plunge myself. I've heard about the benefits of it.
Yeah. Things of Comics says, I cover TV and movie and news, and I got scooped that The Rock is doing reshoots for Moana, Jumanji, and Disney Monster Truck films this spring. So no Mania. I haven't heard of the latter two. When I was told that they weren't planning on him to do Mania, Moana reshoots, and I mean the live-action Moana, was the reason I was given. I didn't put that out there because I can't really verify that. I don't have a connection on the Moana live-action film set. But that is the rumor that I had heard. It's just not something that I can verify.
Is it true that Rock and Cody filmed something?
I reported it. So hell yeah, it's true.
Okay. And that was supposedly to explain why Rock and him are buddies all of a sudden.
Yes. Okay. So at that point, I had reported that they filmed something. I didn't say what. And then when The Rock showed up on the January 6th episode of Raw, and I did that to help preserve their spot. That way I didn't blow up somebody's spot or creative, because that would, you know, unnecessarily, you know, it just isn't good business in that sense. And then they did effectively what I believe they filmed at the Moana premiere. And also, a person close to The Rock sent me the interview he did where he put over Cody at the Moana premiere, where he's like, oh, they're family, they're this. And I was like, there's a reason I'm being sent this. And I said that on the air. But I don't know that they specifically filmed something of The Rock taking a shot and then driving, by the way, but taking a shot of whiskey with Cody. But it was something very similar that would have served to squash the beef back then. But they found that the WWE Raw episode was best. But Jimmy, we do have a rather important topic to cover. Ricky Starks in the news a lot. We got a couple super chats, humper chats about it, but interested on your take of what we're hearing, as Ibu said something that it confirmed a little bit of what we had reported. What we had reported was late 2023 or 2023, he asked for his option to not be picked up. AEW did it anyway, have not used him since. And Ibu says that Ibu of Wrestle Purist, self-made PW in the post-Raw show, says that he asked for his release a number of months ago, I'm told. What are your thoughts on this?
I feel like we've kind of talked about this before, but I feel both sides of it. Like, I understand both sides of it. So I obviously, there's a lot of people on social media that are saying, oh, this is bullshit, they should release him. Don't hold him hostage, you should release him. I get both sides of it. So on the one hand, with all due respect to Ricky Starks, he's not Roman Reigns, right? He was never the top guy in the company. So if they were to let him go, they're not losing too much. But on the other side of the coin, and this is where I see Tony Khan's side, you don't want to set that kind of a negative precedent either, where you grant this guy his release because he requested it and because he was, you know, he did interviews talking about not being used and whatnot. What happens now when the next guy comes along that's not happy and wants to be released? Now, do you have to give him his release too? And if you don't, is he going to go online and bitch about, well, you cut Ricky, but you won't cut me?
Yeah.
You almost can't win if you're Tony Khan in this situation. And to be honest with you, Sean, I've been critical of Tony, you know, in the past with some of the business decisions that he's made and the way that he's handled certain members of the talent roster. I think he's been smart with this one because he's kept his mouth shut. Because yes, there's no winning. So I think he's been right about the way he's handled it.
Yes. This is the one situation of all of them that people usually complain about that I can't see any benefit for AEW in it. Miro has been reported to have turned down creative. There are all the rumors about Malakai Black and all that stuff. Rey Fénix and Penta seemingly were negotiating a deal with time left on their deals. You can't do that. I don't mean like a month or a week, or, you know, they're out the door. Ricky is a person who said to them, well, I would like to not have my option picked up. It is AEW's decision to do that. That's the contract. However, if you do it and then don't use him, that's just petty. If you do it, and then when somebody else uses him, you block him from taking that booking, that's just petty. There's no benefit to it. You are wasting money. And Cool Fool brings it up. He says,
men, if you've lost your hair, it does not mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who have found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. It makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose between personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. There are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's HIMS.com/Fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. That's HIMS.com/Fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Salaries of unused AEW talent are considered crumbs of the Khan family, but as a businessman, how is Shad Khan not upset with the millions of dollars going to waste? Well, because it's Tony Khan's business at this stage, first off.
But it's also not going to waste. I mean, and this again is, you know, you and I talk so often about media literacy and all this stuff. This again is where people got to remember they just signed a new television contract. They're going to be profitable. I don't know if they're going to be this year, because I think you told me that it's in tiers in terms of the new deal.
Yeah.
So they may not be profitable this year, but if not, they will be next year. So in terms of millions of dollars going to waste, when Fightful started, we lost money for 5 years because I believed in it, right? So I funded it for 5 years. Tony Khan's looking at it the exact same way. And I remember seeing an interview early on with him and Shad was joking around about, well, he might as well use his inheritance while I'm still alive so I can see it. That's what Shad said. It's not going to waste because the new deal is going to get it back. So that's just how it is.
Yeah. And I am of the belief, like, if you're not going to use them, you should probably just let them go. But if you have plans to use them and they won't do that in a creative sense, well, that's on them. Because if you sign the contract, you do fulfill the contract. I believe that. Like all the Ray Phoenix stuff, I'm like, no, you fulfill your contract. You do that. However, they're not using him. That situation, way different, way different. Ricky Starks just shut up the whole time. He didn't do anything. He didn't cause any problems. People are like, well, why is he going to WrestleMania? Because his friend's wrestling there. Who gives a shit? I don't, what? Like, I
agree. Did they show him sitting ringside and put his nameplate on the screen? No. You know what I mean?
I might go to Chris Van Vliet's live show next week. Like,
oh, really?
Jimmy's not going to give me shit over it.
No, like, I'd say, like, say hello to Chris for me, buddy.
Yes. Ricky's situation is unique to the others. And I think it does a real disservice to him when people apply everybody else to him. They apply people who have turned down creative. They apply people who have negotiated deals with a possibility of a year plus left on their deal. It does a disservice when they go, oh, well, what about Jeff Hardy and Adam Copeland? WWE talked with them, or AEW talked with them. Yeah, when they got fired and when they were heading out of their contract. Like, come on. We're going to act like that's the same as negotiating a deal with a year plus left. Ricky has not been to the Performance Center. I saw people claiming that he had done that during this period. He has not negotiated a WWE deal behind anybody's back, as far as I know. I don't understand specifically the Ricky Stark situation. I just don't get it. And Shotgun says, shouldn't WWE... Actually, we'll read that one later. But DNC Digital says, question for both of you that I'm not understanding. In a business sense, why would a company pay someone to be home without ROI? Are they counting the money they would make elsewhere? There's no way they're getting an ROI on Ricky Starks in this situation. They weren't on Penta and Phoenix either, because they don't produce merch to a mass degree for those two. But they're not benefiting at all from this. I understand that AEW's method is different, and sometimes they cycle people in and out. But I don't understand the point of keeping people off TV for a year plus at a time unless they want to be there and it's mutually beneficial. I do not get it.
I think the key to his question is, he said, from a business sense. And from a business sense, it doesn't make sense. From a business sense, right? From a business sense, it doesn't. If anything, it's just being done so that they don't go to the competition. That's really it. So they don't go to the competition. And that's why, again, I still see both sides of it. I understand Tony Khan's perspective, where, you know, you agree to the deal, you sign the deal. I also understand the mentality about, well, you're not using them. You picked up his option and you're doing nothing with him. I see both sides of it. Unfortunately, I guess it kind of is what it is. Do you think there's any possibility? And there goes my darn phone. Do you think there's any, I thought I muted it. Do you think there's any possibility that when the whole big Bill thing happened, Tony took it the wrong way and thought that Rick was being difficult?
Maybe. No, I think when he asked for his option to not be picked up, that, and even after then, they made them tag team champions. But right. I think that caught him off guard. And again, that's my theory. I think that surprised him. And
so it turned into spite?
I don't know.
Okay. You're drinking Yeti? You got a Yeti mug there, Sean?
Yeah, it was. Can't remember who gave it to me. But what does WWE's deal with Twitter prevent them from Blue Sky? It definitely discourages them from being on Blue Sky. That is something I had heard for a while. Have you heard where Double or Nothing would take place? No, but I did report on Fightful Select that it won't be, or it's not planned to be, Las Vegas. Attending my first wrestling show, AEW the 5th, when with my mom to experience a new atmosphere, we'll wear a Mercedes shirt and describe being in an arena. Terry, I look forward to hearing what you think, especially with like them running different sorts of venues, Terry. I hope you enjoy yourself and your mother. That's very kind of you to take her. That's great. Swan says, thank you for answering. I don't mind the ad read. Love the entire Fightful team. Love everything you do. Stay happy and healthy, guys. Thank you so much. Listen, we love seeing or getting input from people all over the globe. I will not pretend like I have a ton of insight on international TV deals. That has never been a forte for me. I did used to have somebody from DAZN in Japan feed me news, which is hilarious. But yeah, outside of that, I don't have a lot of insight, but thank you so much. Jay Miller says, Dragon Lee spoke on Instagram last night and said he's at home with his wife while she's pregnant. So it's great that Triple H grants time off for that. Yeah. But I mean, how many times now have we seen people say, oh, well, they're not getting used correctly because their wife is pregnant or something. We saw that with Bronson Reed as well. Like, he wasn't originally planned for something because
Australia.
His wife was, Australia. It's like, come on now. He has not been used to a great degree. And I'm not saying he needs to be world champion or anything like that, but like, what wonderful story has he been involved in throughout this process? Now, I have heard nothing but great things about how he is to deal with. So yes, they absolutely could do better with Dragon Lee. And man was at the shows for a long time, just working dark matches and speed and all that stuff. So Tin Ruza says, I don't think the business deserves TK. Wrestlers being weird about contracts needing to be happy all the time is strange. TK is too nice. Well, we can't act like this is a new thing, Jimmy. Like, people have done this before. Like, this happened in WCW and WWF. People would go on TV.
That's right.
Back then, and say, you're keeping my buddies hostage.
Waldman.
Yada. Yeah.
Yep. You're right. This has been happening forever. I mean, Mustafa Ali, he was, you know, pretty active on Twitter about where he was in WWE. You're right.
Yeah.
I you know what? I think a lot of it, again, is AEW. Oftentimes they're just the whipping boys of online, you know, trolls. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, I think. is it's you're damned if you're Tony Khan. Sometimes you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And I used to always say to you, the guy's got to get the hell off Twitter. And he's done that. Like he hasn't been really active about anything that I've seen. Not that I, you know, I'm checking him on a daily basis, but I think he's been smart to stay quiet because you can't win. You just can't.
Yeah. NPR says, the feeling I have for WWE right now is the same feeling I had for AEW in 2021 and 2022. Can't wait for the Rumble. I mean, listen, I am just very happy that WWE has a simply not terrible product because I have a low bar for entertainment. I love pro wrestling. If things generally make sense, I'll probably enjoy it. But I mean, I covered WWE during some of the worst booking that I could have imagined that company having. Like the 2019 to early 2020 world title booking, Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar winning in 8 seconds and them rushing the Fiend into it and the Goldberg winning and
yes,
all this stuff. And then you go straight into the COVID era, which just put a damper on everybody. Oh, man.
I mean, I will say SmackDown needs a shot in the arm. I find SmackDown for 3 hours can be hard to get through. But at the same time, they do have people that are really, like, you know, knocking it out of the park, like Tiffany Stratton. I think she's doing a great job. Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is just, like I said, you can just give him a mic and don't even give him a script. Just give him a mic and say, yeah, go. You know what I mean? Like, they have some people that are really entertaining, but they also have some that need to be utilized better.
Shotgun Sean says, shouldn't WWE be worried about the chance the audience turns against their top babyface guy, Cody, if he goes up against Cena? Why would they take that risk? I will say this. My favorite era of AEW is when on any given month you kind of chose who the face and the heel was based on your own personal preference. It was two guys with a largely, like, subjective issue, and you're like, no, I think they're in the right, or I think they're in the right. Cody and Cena can be that. Babyface versus babyface, when done right, can be phenomenal. I mean, The Rock and Hogan effectively turned into babyface, babyface. Warrior Hogan was babyface, babyface. It's okay to do that. And for Cena to either win the title or officially pass the torch is I think a huge moment.
You also have to remember that Cena for years was the babyface that got booed.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He was the babyface that went out there and they sung John Cena sucks to his entrance music. I do think that some of the crowd is going to turn on Cody when he goes into Mania against Cena, but there's nothing wrong with it. What it's going to come down to is how does Cody handle it? And I think Cody is definitely got the demeanor that he handled it just fine. So yeah. I think it'll be good. Cena always had fun with it. He never took it personally. And I think Cody will be the same way. So I do think they'll turn on him, but I think you handle it all right.
Will Chisholm says Punk caught himself calling Hogan Dusty. He wanted to say racist. What a goat. I'll have more on that on Fightful Select today, by the way.
You know, I want to say this about
that
Punk.
That was a great
Sean.
Line.
It was. What? And I want to ask you this about Punk. When Punk first came back to WWE, do you remember some of the first shows? The whole crowd was not chanting CM Punk for him because yeah. He went in there somewhat of a damaged talent from the AEW run, right? I feel like he's more popular now than he was when he returned to WWE. Do you get a sense of that? Do you get a sense that maybe this last year has kind of, how do I put it, rehabilitated his reputation a little bit? Because I feel like he's more popular now than he was.
I think that CM Punk's popularity is tangible to him being a polarizing character and it being very cool to hate on AEW. I think that those two are very connected in that sense. And that audience who may not have even been that on board with CM Punk,
yeah,
but were anti-AEW, are definitely pro-Punk now.
Do you think that the fact that he had, it seems, some real-life heat with guys like McIntyre and Rollins, did business with both of them, even though he, you know, he won, but he still did business with both of them. Do you think that helped in terms of his perception with the fan base, that he had these matches with guys that there were some issues with and they were pros and everything went fine?
Yeah, I do, because it is absolutely a situation where, and you'll see people tweet about it all the time, like, oh, how many more progress reports are we going to get about CM Punk? Well, the guy got into multiple fights and arguments backstage, went nuclear on a podcast, understandably so, 10 years ago, right. Had a lot of those situations. So at some point, you got to wonder, would that be the case? And since then, he's had good relationships. He's worked with people that have issues with him.
Yep.
There has been more structure surrounding that. So I think that's gone a long way. And Jimmy, I think that lends credibility to, well, WWE is much more structured and a better place to work than AEW, where people just run amok. I think it is all connected for sure.
I also think, you know, not that I want to trash anybody, but I think Rollins and McIntyre did business, whereas the Bucks wouldn't. And I think that made a big difference. Now, it's different
I
in
do
that.
Too. I absolutely
it,
do.
It is different in that Rollins and Punk didn't get into a fight in the locker room. So it is a little different, but they still did. Rollins and McIntyre still did business. They still were able to kind of put their feelings aside and do business.
And again, as somebody points out, Punk knows it's his last chance unless TNA was an option. I think in the future, Kenny Omega would do business.
I think he would too. He seems like the kind of guy that would. I agree.
It was highly suggested to me that he would.
Oh, yeah.
Manuel says, any plans for AEW Library Weekly TV on Crave in Canada? Jimmy, have you heard anything to suggest this?
No. So I'm trying to.
I do love that I say I've got no insight on international TV deals.
Right. Yeah. And then throw it to me. I haven't heard much about Crave. So Crave is basically a streaming service in Canada. And that's where you can watch HBO content. And so that's where the AEW content would go. I haven't heard anything about it. I would presume, much like how they had to do a new contract with Warner Brothers that included the streaming component, they'd probably have to do the same with TSN. And I don't think it would be a difficult thing for them to do. But I haven't heard anything about them having their content on Crave.
We've got somebody said, highly suggested by who? And somebody says, probably Kenny himself. He may have said something while I was doing an interview with him that I took and was like, that's an interesting way to phrase that. Huh.
Do you think, I'm fantasy booking, so I don't want anybody to go after fantasy booking. How would the crowd react, a WWE crowd, how would they react to Omega Punk? Not saying it would ever happen, but how would
the WWE crowd react? I don't think Omega's going to WWE ever. No, I don't.
Where else would it happen? Where else would it happen?
Hell if I know. Honestly, okay. Maybe New Japan. Maybe New Japan or something like that.
Okay.
But Will Chisholm says Punk playing good for the NXT booking job. Yeah, and you know what? There's a fellow by the name of Shawn Michaels who had an awful lot of backstage issues for a long time.
Who is
running that NXT. Got into fist fights, got into issues. Yes.
He kind of screwed over one of the best wrestlers to ever do it.
Yes. So there is a template there, although granted a lot more time and cushion between that. Perhaps not as long and contentious a relationship with WWE, but Shawn Michaels is doing well. I believe that CM Punk would have a knack for that. Like there's, I really do.
He seems interested too. He really genuinely
DNC Digital says, Sean, anything on what I told you the other day with the chair shots? He had mentioned that like some of the WWE Vault stuff doesn't pause chair shots to the head. I asked about it and all I was told was change in philosophy. That's about the only update I got from it was a little bit of a change of philosophy. We can't rewrite history in that regard. It seemed like there was a little something to it.
I literally just saw a clip yesterday from one of the Rumble finishes. Austin, Kane are the last two. And Austin clubbed him in the head with a chair like three times before eliminating him. And I thought that to myself. I thought, wow, they're like, because those were full on chair shots back then. So it is noticeable that they've done it.
We've got Nicholas saying, do you think either TNA or NXT will put a title on talent from other company? And if so, who do you think it will be? Yes, I do. I think the Rascals stand a very good chance. I had been told a year before. So Zachary Wentz got booted from NXT in conjunction with an issue with his ex, which he was effectively proven wrong to the companies. And, you know, there were some colorful things that had emerged throughout then as well that obviously you don't want. But I had been told after that, they were like, we like him here. The door is open for him here. And pretty early into that, they gave him the opportunity to come back as a part of this NXT TNA talent exchange. Now I think we could absolutely see them win NXT tag titles. I think the Rascals are slam dunks.
Yeah, anybody any chance maybe of? Ethan Page with the TNA title is the first one that comes to mind.
No, no,
no,
no, I don't. No, I absolutely don't. No,
really?
No, I don't.
Okay. He's the first one I thought of. He's the first one that came to mind. The only other one that comes to mind just.
He's the first one that came to mind besides Tessa as no. That's not
happening. Oh, really? Okay. Not happening. The only other one that comes to mind for me because I'm just.
That was more out of pocket than The Rock, Harley Cameron, Jimmy. that's how much no I'm saying. If it becomes a yes, something has drastically changed over the last 6 months and then the last number of years.
With TNA,
he did not have a good departure from TNA even before that, but like...
Was a lot of that because of Nomura, though?
Still not with that management as well, but I'll say this. It wasn't a, I'm going to go out and bury this person, that person, et cetera. It was a, I'm ready to move on with my career and do something else type of thing. Because Ethan Page is a pro in that regard. It wasn't like a... they'd come to blows. It's an Ethan Page is a very much like, let me go conquer the next journey type of thing. I am not looking back and certainly not to there type of thing. However, now that I said this, maybe that's something that they'll want to play.
Well, the only other one that comes to mind, because I'm just thinking about Hunter. So the other one that comes to mind for me is the Hardys. I could see the Hardys doing something, either the NXT titles or even the WWE tag team titles.
I could absolutely see that happening.
Yeah.
Could absolutely see that happening. Somebody says, how long do you see Omos in Japan? I think until they decide to start using him. I don't know what he's doing next weekend, but it wouldn't shock me to see him in like the Rumble or anything like that. I'll tell you a crossover. Joe Hendry, I could see him in the Rumble because he got announced for the Jericho Cruise, which is Rumble weekend. However, Jimmy, he was announced for only the last day of the Jericho Cruise. Now he is announced for WrestleCon, which is where? In Indianapolis, the site of the Royal Rumble.
I could totally see it. And going back to Omos, I've been saying for so long, Omos needs to be this generation's Andre the Giant. He needs to be the special attraction babyface. That's exactly what he is in Japan right now. I saw the clip where he was interviewed. He is. He's really entertaining, funny. And
I interviewed him last year, and he pulled receipts from our podcast of me saying that I didn't think the show was... But the funniest thing, because like he was a very good sport about it. He was very much like, what do you have to say now? And I was like, 5 stars is what I have to say now, looking at you in the face, of course. But there was a situation where he was leaned over looking through his phone, and I stood up really straight, and I said, oh, I'm going to be taller than you. And he immediately corrected his posture, which I thought was the funniest shit, because like... Clearly, like that dude could be sitting in a chair, and I think he's got me beat in that one. But that dude is so like they let these guys show it. They finally let Jacob Fatu show it. They let Solo Sikoa show it. Like you gotta let him show it, man.
He should be a babyface. Doing the Vince McMahon, you know, I'm not American and I'm a big scary monster heel guy. No.
Yeah.
Let him show the personality. He should have been a babyface the whole time.
Yeah. Percentage, Josh Alexander goes to AEW, and a Mike Bailey update. Mike Bailey is headed to AEW, or at least that was the plan as of last month. For now, he's a professional Twitch streamer. Josh Alexander, I'm going to say 50-50. I have no real insight on Josh Alexander's future. If Josh Alexander wanted to become the premier indie talent and take a whole lot of bookings, he could do that, though. He could do that. Swaron says, if AEW-WWE crossover ever happened, which matches would you pick? 2 matches each for men and women, 1 tag, and a promo battle. Ooh.
I'm not answering this because I don't. It's never going to happen. So I just don't like the fantasy book, but you go ahead.
Men and women? Well, listen, I feel like this might be a cop-out, but I don't care. Mercedes and Bayley running it back with their brands... waving the flag. Men, probably Roman Reigns and Kenny Omega, but I would also love, now they can't do it, New Day versus the Elite, because now they're fractured, but Roman Reigns versus versus Kenny Omega, and tag, it'd probably be Young Bucks versus
Usos?
Probably Cody and somebody, or Cody and Punk.
Oh, that'd be a matchup.
Young Bucks versus Cody and Punk.
That'd be a matchup. Fascinating.
Yeah. Promo battle.
MJF.
Okay. Hear me. I love MJF, but also whether it be a promo battle or whatever, probably
MJF, Hangman, Kevin Owens. Done. That's what I want.
Hangman and either CM Punk or Seth Rollins, because I see a lot of parallels between Seth Rollins and Hangman.
MJF, Kevin Owens, because those guys could just improv for 20 minutes. No
problem. Yeah, I mean, there's so many good options, man. There's so many good options. Ryan says, Sean, reports of Alexa Bliss creator being put on hold over contract issues. Can you comment on that? I did not know that was over contract issues. Again, I haven't looked into that claim yet, so I'm going to do that today. I'll look into it as best I can, but I haven't heard of that. I haven't heard of any creative for her, though. Rock Hard Joel Wood says the teases are out there. How long before Jacob Fatu says, I hate you, Solo, and he and Tama turn on Solo? Hopefully before Mania, because I think that's a Mania match, Jimmy. I think that is absolutely a WrestleMania match.
I think they're definitely good. Here's a question for you. I think they're going to go in that direction, and I think that the original bloodline is going to get back together. But my question for you is, will the fans accept Solo as a babyface?
Yes. The fans want to love Solo so much. I could see it being Fatu and the Usos against Solo and probably Tama and Hikuleo, because I don't think that Tongaloa is ready yet. But I could see any number of things happening there. Guess on the first two and 30 for the Rumble. 30 should be a surprise, or it could just be Roman Reigns.
yeah, it might be. Yeah. Got to cut down on the time, yeah.
Rollins and probably another workhorse.
Maybe Rollins and Punk?
Rollins and Sammy, I think.
Oh, could be interesting.
Rollins and Sammy, I think, are a good one. Guys, we are wrapping up. If you got any super chats, humper chats, let us know. FightfulSelect.com, best $6 a month in the business soon, $64 a year in the business. Nulak City says, Jimmy swayed me. I'd prefer TK just release all these guys, but at what point is TK a businessman and put his foot down? People like Conan publicly telling Omega to leave, and these wrestlers, social media will side with them over AEW. You hear an awful lot of people saying Tony Khan needs to be harder on talent, less of a friend to talent, all that stuff. And then when he does it, but it, also to me, it is a case-by-case basis. It has to be a case-by-case basis. Why pay Ricky Starks hundreds of thousands of dollars simply to not be elsewhere? Because I'm sorry, but that just makes them hotter when they're not, or when they leave.
Which is what we've talked about before. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, have him put somebody else over, right?
That's what they always say. Would. Yeah. He would. Yeah. I know he would. Jimmy, we've told the people about your book. Do you want to do another plug? We did a wonderful one on the Fightful Awards.
Oh, you did. I appreciate it. So, The Storytelling Salesman, this is what it looks like right here. It's for anybody with a job where maybe you're not content with your job. Maybe you're looking for tips on how to make things better. Maybe you manage people and the people that you manage suck. Maybe you have a hard time recruiting the right talent. Maybe you want to start up a business, don't know how. Maybe you have your own business and you're not doing well financially. Any of that kind of stuff, this book can help you. And it's all based on stories from my personal, or I should say professional, experience. So storysalesman.com, you can get it there. Fightful Shop, you can get it there. Or anywhere that books are sold online. Amazon, Indigo, Barnes & Noble. Check it out.
Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. Drop your comments. Actually, who do you think wins Money in the Bank? Dan, that's actually a good question. If Cena doesn't win the world title, I don't think John Cena wins the world title off Money in the Bank. My God, people just threw in a few more. Women's?
It's tough because they're a little bit light on the women's side.
Yeah.
Tiffany was great. She was a great one, but...
Damn, man.
Maybe somebody from NXT?
Yeah, I'm thinking it would be like a Roxanne. Roxanne.
Yeah.
Roxanne. On the men's side of things, I think it should be someone out of left field.
Ludwig Kaiser.
Ludwig Kaiser, Montez Ford, Penta, somebody like that. Somebody that you establish.
Montez would be a good one, actually.
Saran says, I love you, Sean, in Fatu's voice. Who do you think wins the Women's Rumble? If not Charlotte, I think it could be an NXT talent. But to me, Charlotte and Tiffany Stratton is right there.
I agree.
And Tiffany needs it. I'm not saying Charlotte's done, but it's sort of passing the torch as a performance center creation type of top star as well. I think that goes a long way, but this could be the year that, or should be the year maybe, that an NXT talent wins it, and you can forever say, oh, look, an NXT talent wins it, which I think would be cool. I predict Roman coming out at one. He gets in the ring at the same time as number 24 enters because of his entrance. I love that. Pardon me. Guys, my God, who do you think wins Elimination Chamber? A lot of these questions are too difficult to answer before the Rumble.
Yeah.
Like, to ask me who I think will win Elimination Chamber Money in the Bank before the Rumble happens.
Yes, I agree.
Because I don't think it'll be Cena. I think that Cena's path will be throwing somebody over a top rope, not physically pinning somebody, because he straight up showed up and said, guys, I suck now. I'm not good. So I don't think he'll do that. Women's Elimination Chamber,
it's going to be somebody for Rhea.
It's going to be somebody for Rhea, I think. Yeah.
And the men's is going to be somebody for Gunther.
Yes, that I agree with. And I think Gunther will show that person a sense of respect for going through those people. And I think he will try to minimize John Cena a little bit. He'll be like, it's not just somebody throwing somebody over a top rope. Five people got pinned in this match, because that's the kind of guy that Gunther is. Guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.